great Kohan Yochanan Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. In those words, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you that Pastor tells us every Sabbath, are actually, this peace is actually created by what comes forth on the Sabbath day, this teaching that comes forth from this lectern that goes into your mind and actually creates a character on your mind. The title of the sermon is Spirit Demystified. And the topic that I want to talk about, of course, is spirit. And what is spirit? Exactly what is it? It's one of those things that, if you're in the world, it's kind of a mysterious thing. And the Catholic Church and all of the religions really love to mysticize things. They have to mysticize things because if they were perfectly clear and accurate in their teaching, they'd have to expose themselves, which they're not willing to do, of course. This is why everything is a mystery. It has to be a mystery because the truth can't exist along with their sin. The word spirit is Strong's number 7307 in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek is very similar. I think it comes from the same word, but it's the Hebrew word ruach. And it means wind, or by resemblance, breath. And this breath, of course, that you can let your mind go the Hollywood route, and you can think of the horror movies and the ghost stories, and you can think of this wind blowing through a creaking door and floating around the room and rustling the chandeliers and doing all of this stuff that you see in these ghost stories. But really, what this wind is the breath that comes out of the mouth of specifically a teacher of righteousness, and specifically the one sent on Yahweh's holy Sabbath day. And this is the breath of life. This is the breath that actually comes forth. And to be perfectly simple in the definition of the word spirit, the spirit is the teaching. And it's really just that plain and simple. Spirit holy is the teaching that comes forth from this lectern. And to give you a single, this convenient, simple, single verse definition of spirit, we can turn to Yochanan 6:63. If you'll turn there, open your books of Yahweh to Yochanan 6:63. Yeshua said this plainly. He told us plainly what is spirit. And this has been covered before, of course, but rehearsal always helps to remember these things. In Yochanan 6:63, Yeshua says, "It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless." Of course, Pastor clarified that. He said the flesh is useless without it, without the spirit. It's not that the flesh is useless. I mean, obviously, we can use our hands and whatnot that we've been given, and they're useful. So the flesh is not useless, but it's useless without the spirit. And I'll go into that a little bit of time here. "The laws that I speak to you," says this one sent, the Yeshua, "the laws that I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life everlasting." So there's your convenient single verse definition of spirit. And I want to read to you something from the Catholic Encyclopedia, because I think of another word that's a little mysterious in the world. I didn't know what it was before I came to the house of Yahweh, and that's the word sin. It's a very simple word, a three-letter word. It's another word that also has a convenient single-verse definition in Scripture, and that definition, of course, is found in 1 Yochanan 3:4, and everyone's very familiar with this verse. You don't really have to turn there if you don't want to, but it's 1 Yochanan 3:4. "Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, that's very simple, isn't it? That's kind of a convenient, single-verse, oaky definition of the word sin. But now I want to read you something from the Catholic Encyclopedia under the heading sin. I'm not trying to do this to make fun, although I do almost have to. You almost have to read this and look at this, because when I read this, I ended up scratching my head, saying, "What did he say? what did he say?" And you'll get the point. I'm not going to read the whole thing, because if I did, I'd use up all the time. But I'm going to read enough of it to know that this is the mysticism. This is the intellectualizing of something that's really very simple. And this is a technique they use to really hide what the true meaning of something is. So this is from the Catholic Encyclopedia under the heading of sin. And it says, "The subject of sin is treated under these heads: the nature of sin, division, mortal sin, venial sin, permission and remedies, and the sense of sin. And so I'm just going to read a part of the nature of sin. This is the first one. Since sin is a moral evil, it is necessary in the first place to determine what is meant by evil, and in particular by moral evil. Evil is defined by St. Thomas as a privation of form or order or due measure. In the physical order, a thing is good in proportion as it possesses being. God alone is essentially being, and he alone is essentially and perfectly good. Everything else possesses but a limited being, and in so far as it possesses being, it is good. When it has its due proportion of form and order and measure, it is, in its own order and degree, good. See good. I don't really want to, because I bet that's another 10-page, 100-page article. I don't have time to see good. But anyway, we'll continue a little bit. Evil implies a deficiency in perfection, hence it cannot exist in God, who is essentially and by nature good. Found only in finite beings, which because of their origin from nothing are subject in the privation of form or order or measure due them, and through the opposition they encounter are liable to an increase or decrease of the perfection they have, quote, for evil in a large sense may be described as the sum of opposition which experience shows to exist in the universe to the desires and needs of individuals, whence arises among human beings at least the suffering in which life abounds. See evil. Okay, well, according to the nature of the perfection which it limits, evil is metaphysical, physical, or moral. Metaphysical evil is not evil properly, you know, and I could keep going, blah, blah, blah. I don't, it's not to make fun, but it is to prove a point. Did anyone understand any of that? Does it make any sense whatsoever? Maybe I'm stupid. It could very well be. I mean, maybe these people are just smarter than me. I don't know. It seems to me that what they're kind of trying to say, I think I'd have to read it through about 10 times before I even got a hint of what they're suggesting, but I think that what they're suggesting is that everything's good. It's just that some things are not as good as others. And sin just makes you a little bit worse, a little bit less good. And I don't know. So just pretend I didn't read all of that and erase it all out of your mind, because I'm going to give you again the convenient single verse oaky definition of sin in 1 Yochanan 3:4 again. If the world would hear this, they might actually understand what sin is. Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Period. Okay. Can we have everyone give a round of applause for that? You know, Yahweh has a way with words, and his apostles have a way with words. Now, you can read the intellectualism if you want to, but what are they trying to do there? What is that? What is all that? And it goes on for pages and pages. It's like the Talmud. The same people wrote it. It's like the Talmud that goes on and on and on and on forever, and you could just read it, and you can scratch your head and say, what are they saying here? What are they trying to say here? Sin is the transgression of the law, period. And spirit is a similar thing. It's the teaching. It's the teaching. And spirit can be holy and spirit can be unholy. Which do you prefer? This is what you have to make up your mind to. There was the tree of righteousness only, and there was the tree of the mixture. The mixture is spirit that's not holy, and the pure word, the pure oil from the tree of righteousness was spirit that is holy. And this spirit goes forth in these last days from our one sent overseer Israel Hawkins across this lectern to your ears, where it's installed in your mind and where it goes to running on your brain. And whether you obey it or not, this determines what it's going to do in your brain and in your mind and in your body. If you obey it, it becomes transformed into a living, righteous character. It becomes your character that then lives. It guides everything you do. It guides your actions. It guides your speech. It guides your thoughts. It guides everything that you do, this spirit that is holy. Now, I guess we can argue, if you want to, about the meaning of words and you could say that a spirit, you know, a lot of people think that the spirit is this is basically the essence of what a person is. And I don't know that I'd necessarily argue with that. I guess you could use the word in that sense, that once you receive a spirit, it then becomes yours, and that is your spirit. That's your character, your, you know, the essence of what you are. And I'd almost make an analogy to spirit. If you could turn over to Yochanan 3:6. Yochanan 3:6. Pastor has told us a lot about a breeding program. He's talked about a certain tribe of Zebulun who saw the light, and then these people, you know, multiplied and they had families and they brought up in the end this man, perfect man called Yeshua. And in Yochanan 3:6, Yeshua says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit." So you can see that there's two different parts to a person. There's the flesh and there's the spirit. And I liken these two parts to a computer because I work with computers an awful lot, and there's a lot of similarities there. You have the computer hardware, which is the machine or the box, and it has the CPU and it has the memory and it has all the hardware to do that which it does. But without the software, it is useless. It does nothing. There's nothing that it can do. So the spirit can then be likened to the software. And software, after all, really is nothing more than a sequence of instructions. And the law itself, Yahweh's law itself, is called Torah, which means instruction. So the two are very similar, although a computer, and Pastor talks a lot about computers and the mind and how it works like a computer and how it's greater than any computer, but it works on instruction. And again, you can have in a computer, you can have an instruction that's perverted, and it's called a virus. And these viruses go into the computer, and they kind of take it over, and they make the computer do what the programmer told it to do. And you might not even know that your computer is doing things that someone told it to do, like using your computer as an email robot to send out its message to everyone it wants to send it to. And this can all be going around in the background, and you don't even know what's going on. And this is why I want to talk now about spirit that is not holy, because the spirit that is not holy too, and that spirit is brought forth, is brought about, and it is propagated by the schools of higher learning, mainly, but also the churches, the entertainment industry, and the television set, and so forth. This teaching is propagated, and the word, turn to 1 Corinthians 4:15. 1 Corinthians 4:15, the apostle made an interesting statement here. Because we have the beginning of the flesh, this begetting, this propagation of the, you know, and when a husband and wife conceive a child and the baby is born, you have this baby that doesn't do very much. But as you teach the child, this spirit goes into the child's mind and that child becomes what you teach it to be. Well, in 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Apostle Shaul said, "For although you might have 10,000 teachers in Yeshua, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Yeshua Messiah, I have begotten you through the message." So we see that this spirit, this character, this person, this essence of what a person is actually begotten through a message, through a teaching. And this is what creates a person, is really the teaching. And if you look up that word begotten, it actually means to procreate. It is a procreation. It's a participation in the creation process whereby you teach a person something and that person becomes what you teach that person to be if they are willing. If they are willing. And this is why the Catholic Church wants people when they're young. Because people when they're young, you know, like a child is teachable, but when they get to be a certain age and they've already been taught, it's very hard to reverse any teaching that they've been given. Try arguing with a Baptist preacher and see how far you get. You'll turn blue in the face, and they're the ones that are writing all this stuff here. They're the ones that are writing the intellectual stuff that does nothing but mystify and obfuscate and cloud the meaning of words that really should have a very simple meaning. And then they lead everyone astray, and everyone doesn't know what anything means anymore in the scriptures. But of course, this is why Pastor sends 1 cent to clarify these things to his people, who will then clarify it to the rest of whatever's left of the world after they learn what they must through experience. Experience, Pastor has said, is not the best teacher, but it sure is an effective one. And I don't think anyone who's had experience in anything like that would argue with that. I told the young priests, I think I told them this, but when I was young, I had to know what made that light bulb come on in that little light that was in my window. And so I unscrewed the bulb and I stuck my finger. The first thing I realized is that bulb's kind of hot. So I unplugged it and I let it cool down, and then I unscrewed the bulb and then I plugged the lamp back in and I stuck my finger in there. Well, stupid as I was, that was the first time. The second time was the last time I did that, because my curiosity had to make me know. I had to learn if the shock that you get from one of those really small light bulb sockets is the same as the shock that you get from those big light bulb sockets. So this is learning by experience, and I can tell you right now from my experience, you don't want to do that, because you'll quickly pull your finger out. It's kind of like touching the hot stove. You don't want to do that either, and that's even worse. You'll probably get burned. But for although you have 10,000 teachers, that word teachers actually means tutors or instructors in Yeshua, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Yeshua Messiah I have begotten you through this message. And we don't have many fathers either. Pastor and overseer Israel Hawkins has begotten all of us through this message. He is our father. He is the one who has begotten us. He has procreated us. He has, along with Yahweh, created us and is creating us in Yahweh's image. Therefore, I plead with you, be followers of me, says the Apostle Shaul. So, and therefore, I plead with you, brothers, be followers of Israel Hawkins, because he's the one who brings us this message. And we see in the world today, we talked just a little while ago about that which is born of the flesh, because Yeshua apparently had to have flesh that was receptive to this spirit, because not all flesh is, apparently. The more corrupted it gets, the less likely it is to receive and obey the instructions that's given to it. It's kind of like a computer that has bad hardware. Maybe it'll work some of the time. Some of the time it won't. I've had computers like this. They'll work for days. And then you have them do just one little task, and then they crash. The blue screen of death. You know, something wrong with the hardware. So in order to have the proper hardware, the healthy hardware upon which to run this software, the spirit that is holy, Yahweh formed a breeding program. And Pastor said just recently in a recent sermon that we're the result of this breeding also. And he mentioned 19, or maybe he said it was twice that, generations back, as far back as our breeding goes, just so we'd have this ability to say, why are they keeping the Sabbath on the first day? What's that? It's like just this recognition of that little deception, keeping the seventh day, and why are they keeping the first? Because the world generally doesn't seem to ask that question. It's because they've been taught it from their youth. In the schools of higher learning, or in the churches, or in their Sunday schools, they've been taught that Sunday is the proper day, it's the Lord's day, and all of the rest of the deception that goes with it, and they make it sound logical, they make it sound like that's the way it should be. And in order to break that deception, Yahweh has to open the mind. Because, as I said, you can argue with a Baptist preacher till you're blue in the face, and you'll never break that training. It's unbreakable. The deception is so strong, and the distractions and the intellectualizing of the scriptures is so powerful that no one can break it. Only Yahweh can break it. So this breeding program that begets the flesh, that creates the physical hardware that we use, the brain, computer scientists for a long time now have concluded that the mind of a person is separate from the brain that it runs on. The brain is like the hardware, and they think of these things. This is what they think of, because they want their computers to be as smart as people. But what they realized is that even the simplest activity that a person does, even the simplest conversation that they have, involves so many details that they just couldn't possibly do it. Of course, as technology increases, maybe they will. They call the whole field artificial intelligence, and they try to make a computer act like a human being, and they have for this longest time known that the mind is a separate thing that actually runs on the brain itself. This little noodle that's coiled up inside of our head here is the hardware, and the mind is that which is us, you know, that which makes us what we are. Well, Satan has a program to destroy both the spirit and the flesh. And Yahweh's breeding program is based upon the teaching of his laws and holy marriage, whereas Satan's breeding program is based upon adultery, fornication, sodomy, and bestiality. That's Satan's breeding program. And of course, what this does is it corrupts the flesh. So here you have, as Pastor says, three strikes against you when you come into the world in the first place. You have a corrupted CPU. Your brain isn't working properly. Your body isn't working properly. And then on top of that, she corrupts the spirit. You know, her churches buy all of the schools. All of the schools, the vast majority of the schools are owned by the Catholic Church. In fact, the Catholic Church was a little bit upset when one of the countries wanted to tax all of their holdings. They didn't like that at all because they have so many holdings. They'd have to be taxed so much. And it gave the number, I should have brought the article, of all of the schools that they own, of all of the churches that they own, of all of the orphanages that they own. And all of these institutions are used to propagate spirit into the minds of these people that is not holy. Well, this spirit goes into their ears and it runs on their mind like software on a computer. And that's why everyone believes that the law is done away with. That's why everyone believes that anyone who'd teach, anyone who would dare say that marriage should be between a man and a woman is immediately castigated and denied business permits. Can you even believe that that's occurring? But that's an article in the news today. They're actually denied the right to do commerce, which of course brings up the mark of the beast. You know, if you don't agree with their sodomy, if you don't agree with their definition of marriage, you're not going to get a business permit. You're not going to get a zoning ordinance. This is the message that's clearly being sent forth through the news today. And, you know, I'm talking about the fast food chicken restaurant there. The president had the gall to say that he thought a marriage should be done according to the Bible between a man and a woman. And then here's the mayor of Chicago, or the head of Chicago, I don't know if he was the mayor, I think he was the mayor, and then the mayor of Boston saying, we don't think that represents the values of our people here. Well, he's probably right, because the values of his people there were created by the spirit that they received in the schools of higher learning. The spirit, of course, being the teaching that went forth from the professors at the head of their classes. Remember the professors who profess themselves to be wise? They're professors. They profess themselves because they're not standing with Yahweh. So they're all alone and they're professing. They don't have any light to them. They profess themselves. And because they did this, their senseless minds were darkened. They became fools. And you can see how foolish they are in this baloney that I just read to you here that... you know, that you could read forever this their definition of sin. When it's a simple thing, sin is the transgression of the law. It's really just that simple. It's the transgression of the law. And this is why when you teach, you are actually, keep this in mind, because when you teach, it really is important that you get it right. because you're actually programming a person. And if you teach them something wrong, you're actually putting spirit that is not holy into that person, and that error will run on the mind, and then it will cause them to stumble. And this is what stumbling is. Stumbling is generally caused by a defective instruction. In a computer, it would be called a bug, a software bug. And then the computer stumbles across this defective instruction, and it crashes. And this can occur with people, too. They'll stumble across a defective instruction that was given, and they'll crash. And we're all filled with these defective instructions from the days that we were in the world, and we're all trying to work them out of us and replace these defective instructions with this pure oil that comes forth over this lectern. And once we do that, now the world is about to, I was going to say they're about to achieve their blue screen of death. For any of you who use computers, you know what the blue screen of death is. Their screen isn't going to be blue, though. It's going to be those three colors of the nuclear mushroom cloud. This is going to be the color of their screen of death. It's going to be those three colors of the nuclear mushroom cloud, and this is coming very soon. I said that these mayors said that these that the values of the biblical marriage didn't agree with their people. But what the when you watch the news, of course, the worldly news, you get a distorted view of what the people really think. What they're not telling you is that really there are an awful lot of people who don't agree with their definition of marriage. And there's probably more than anyone really thinks that don't agree with their definition of marriage, but they're going to make it think like everyone agrees with them, because this is also sort of a propagation of their spirit. You know, if all these people agree with this, you know, man marrying man and woman marrying woman, surely it couldn't be all that bad. After all these people agree with it, it must be acceptable, right? So they're going to lie about that in the first place. But a lot of people see what's going on in this false teaching. A lot of people are starting to wake up to this. What does spirit do? We see the results of spirit that's not holy at work in the world, and we can see the disease that it causes. We can see the sickness of mind that it causes. We can see the birth defects that it causes. We can see all of the things that spirit that is not holy causes. We can see the homelessness. We can see the disease. We can see the world literally sinking into war, everyone preparing for war. We can see the evidence of it in their television shows or anything you might want to look at. You can see the results of spirit that's not holy, this teaching that goes forth that is not holy. But what does spirit holy do? And for that, we can turn to Galatians 5:22, if you will. Galatians 5:22. Because the spirit does move in a person. And Yeshua, of course, made the comment that, you know, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't really see it working so much by looking at it, but you see what the results of it are. Well, in Galatians 5:22, we read this about what does spirit that is holy do? What does this holy teaching actually do? In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit or the result of the spirit, the teaching that comes forth from this lectern, the fruit of that, the end result of that is these things. And there's a list here, a long list, and it's love, joy, peace, and I underlined here in my notes that word peace because this is what everyone claims to be looking for, but their teachings don't bring about peace. Only spirit that is holy brings about peace. Long suffering, patience. How many feel like you've been long suffering? Long suffering, patience, kindness, righteousness. Do you see much kindness in the world? You can look in the news and see gangs of people going up and just killing people literally on the streets, slugging them, beating them up. These are news stories that are in today's news. They don't have kindness. They don't have righteousness. Another fruit is faith with a firm persuasion and the conviction that is based upon hearing, you know, receiving the Spirit, holy, the teachings, and not upon sight, believing without seeing, a firmly relying confidence on the every word of Yahweh. Meekness, gentleness, humility, temperance, self-control, such things are not against any law. They're not against any law now, but they'll make them against the law. If they were to go that far, they'd start to make these things against the law. They legalize their crimes and they criminalize righteousness, is what these people do. And for my last verse and in closing, if you would turn to Revelation 3, verse 13. Revelation 3, verse 13. This is a message directly to us from Yeshua, our high priest, written in Revelation 3, 13. I'm going to read it first as it's written, and then I'm going to read it again. In Revelation 3:13, we read, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh." Or you could read it this way, "He who has an ear, let him hear the laws that the one sent speaks to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh." Praise Yahweh. And these laws that I speak to you, said Yeshua, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. And soon after the news, we'll hope, Yahweh willing, we'll get to hear more of this spirit that is holy from our one sent. And with that, if you'll all please stand, it's my honor to present to you the great Gahan Sefanya Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Hello, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have a news clip, which is going to be the entirety of it, is going to be this scientific discovery that they're now able to prove that global warming is occurring. And there is a lot of skeptics on this, but a lot of this is because, like with all curses of sin, mankind does not want to admit what the cause of it is, and they instead want to attribute it to something that they can tax. And so they're going to say it's automobile fumes and this type of thing. But the global warming is real, and the only cure of it is going to be the keeping of Yahweh's laws as is taught by the one sent. We'll play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! Oh, we got a crowd here today. Praise Yahweh! Exercise the lungs, man.
We do praise you, Yahweh.
You may be seated. Try to remember what you saw on that news now, because they are, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. They are admitting now that this global warming, not only the global warming, but all these other so-called natural disasters is actually being caused by mankind. It's getting their attention because of the fact that, you know, we're having so many, but now we're facing, all nations are facing starvation. And of course, they're putting pressure on everyone, all their scientists to find out what is wrong, what we can do, and whatever it is you do, fix it where we'd make a bunch of money out of it, and correcting this situation. I was supposed to answer some of the letters and phone calls about people who have left the house. They're wanting to come back. There's only one way, and it's shown by the Savior, Yeshua Messiah. Read about the prodigal son. Just look it up for yourself. Humble yourself as a little child, as Yeshua said. And then you need to do what is written in Deuteronomy 17, 9 through 11, you need to do that. You've got to, if you want to get back in contact with Yahweh, do not do verse 12. Write that down, study it, and you'll see there's no other way. We do want you back. We love you. The global warming, the drought. Now, the Savior spoke of this in of course, Matthew 24. The causes is given the cause. And I hope Miss Collins is listening. I hope someone will get her this broadcast or the work that's been done, the work that's being done now. I'm writing more on this because more evidence is coming in. The scriptures are being made more clear. That shows the real cause for this, and it's not the gases, the big controversy that we're having right now among the scientists. There is controversy because they have proof that the gases are not the cause. And it doesn't match up. The burning of fossil fuels, as they call it, if you'd get away from these lies like fossil fuel, you know, if you get more to the truth and start hanging to the truth and sticking with the scriptures, you find no lies in the scriptures. The scriptures show you everything, plain and clear, as the great Kohan Yochanan Owens just brought out. Yahweh speaks plain and clear, and he tells you exactly what you're doing. But they know the gases, the greenhouse gases. It's proof There's plenty of proof showing that this is not the cause. The firmament, I'm trying to explain this in detail and in letters, but the firmament is alive. And get this in your mind. It's like a giant brain that governs the earth like your brain governs your body. Your brain is working with billions of kingdoms. They're micro kingdoms, but they're kingdoms. And, of course, it uses these kingdoms to keep your body well. Now, of course, if your brain gets sick, if you put something in there to confuse the signals of your computer, or if a computer virus, are you familiar with that? If a computer virus gets in a computer, it starts sending out the wrong signals to the body, to the kingdoms that it's working with to get that word written up there on the screen, and how fast it goes up on the screen. And then sometimes it'll just shut it down. And that's when you hear the office screaming. Well, you hear the universe screaming right now. But the firmament, as shown in Scripture, it's a giant brain that was created to actually govern what comes through to mankind from our sun, our ultraviolet rays. I don't know if you have studied much about the ultraviolet rays, but they're strong. They could, if the firmament got weak enough, the ultraviolet rays would cook you in a few seconds. In fact, there would be absolutely nothing left of you in a second. It's that fast. Israel is using ultraviolet rays now, so are we. We're using it on the food because it kills the bacteria, all bacteria in the food. Well, it just so occurs, see, that the ultraviolet rays, that's what they're for. They're to clean up what gets to man, to keep things from getting to man, but adjust what, you know, he needs certain of it. But if it gets too much, then it will kill him. So the firmament, as it comes through this firmament, which is also a filtering system, it when it gets to Earth, it's supposed to give you the right amount of heat, the right amount of rain. Well, rains. You know, you have rainfall. You got water above the Earth, Yahweh says. Scientists didn't know that for years, but the prophets did. The prophets knew that water was above the earth, and the firmament separates it. Well, there's one of the kingdoms in the firmament actually makes the water above turn into rain drops and causes it to come down on the land. Now, here are kingdoms that's doing this. You can't see them. I'm not even sure that all of these kingdoms could even be seen through the great microscopes that we have today, which magnifies these things thousands of times before you can see it with your eye. So the micro kingdoms that we call bacteria that form water into raindrops. Instead of just pouring it out like you would a bucket on the earth, it lets it call and fall and rain drops up on the earth and waters the land. This is done by a kingdom under command. Now, this is a somewhat of a deception in the way the scriptures were translated. And when you go back to the original, it's not. But Yahweh commands. He's not sitting there with a whip in his hand saying, you know, get over here and let this drop come down and that drop come down. Yahweh commanded it in the beginning. He made it this way. and he commanded it, do this job. And he set it in order to do this job. If it weren't for those, that kingdom of certain microism, micro kingdom, if it wasn't for them doing their job, your rainfall would get distorted. Well, this is exactly what's taking place right now with our rain. The kingdoms are getting sick. The kingdoms that govern this great, massive brain, and it is called that in Scripture, it's called a mass, a great mass, but it's a great mass of kingdoms. And in those kingdoms, the Scripture shows, are windows and doors and support pillars that actually shake, and they give with certain conditions, but they always are able to do their job. Now, if these micro kingdoms are getting sick, which they are, not from the gases, these micro kingdoms can take all the smoke you can put out, and they can take it right up through the kingdoms and filter it right out into space, where Yahweh has a cleansing process that takes care of that, turns it back into a usable product, mainly the sun. Don't worry, we're not going to run out of the sun's energy. That's another lie, another stupid... I thought it was a joke the first time I heard it, and that was 20 years ago, and I knew it was a stupid lie. Maybe it was a joke and somebody took it seriously. But Yahweh replenishes the sun. He made it to last forever. The moon, too, and the earth, too. We're going to be using it throughout all eternity. But praise Yahweh. But these things can be filtered out. What can't be corrected right now. Let me see if I can find an article here here it is. I had it. Feel the burn, making 2012 heat wave matter. There have been two, now three, landmark heat waves in the history of mankind, in the history of man-made global warming. And that is exactly what Ms. Collins was bringing out in this news media. And they're objecting because she has the wrong thing. They're both right. If she knows that it's man-made, the only thing they know that it's not gas that's causing it. Well, I know it. The Scripture knows it and tells you what it is. And if you'll get my work, you will see what it is, and then you can start to work in from there, if Yahweh will allow it. Now, this is something else. Yahweh, as the great priest Eob said, he said, man is bound. He is bound. He can only go so far. And that's the reason that Daniel said in a certain time period, knowledge will be increased. Well, of course, Yahweh increased it a certain amount, but he's still bound. He could give mankind a lot more knowledge than in fact, he's going to give it to those, but only if they prove they can handle it. If they prove that they're going to use it for destruction, as mankind is doing right now, with every knowledge, every bit of knowledge he gets, it's for money and destruction, and how to rule. How to rule. Yeshua said this won't be so in the new world. We're not going to have this kind of thing going on in the new world, but that's what the heathen do. The heathen. He's speaking of heathen who actually think that they can rule through force and bring peace. They bring peace for themselves. They don't care what the other person had. But there's been two major heat waves, and now we have another one that is global, man-made global warming. The first was in 1988, and I'm sure you remember that one. The other one was in 2003. I remember that one real well. But I'm still sleeping without an air conditioner. My air conditioner comes straight from the south through a south window, sometimes east or west. It comes from Yahweh. And I hate air conditioners because they weaken you. They dehydrate you and weaken your body. Lay out in the sun, and then when you go in the shade, it feels real great. I tell you one better than that, be chopping cotton out in the sun, you know. And then all of a sudden, a cloud, a little bitty gulf cloud comes over, you know, and about, wow, what a blessing from Yahweh that was. It only lasted a few minutes, but it was quite it was felt. Well, now we're feeling this great heat wave, and now we're having one. And let me try to explain to you what has occurred here. Why didn't it stay when it hit in 1988? Why didn't this stay? Well, of course, we had an unusual amount of STDs that was actually swept into the drinking water, the air streams, and there was killing going on in the firmament. Now, the firmament overcame that. It called for help from other places. If you can think of a pile of food and you see these little bitty ants going, they may come for, you know, quite a ways, and if you follow their trail, you'll see it, you'll follow it back to their den. Well, these little bitty ants was bound to do a certain thing. Yahweh commanded them. And of course, Solomon said, consider the ant, you know, what he does. Well, of course, he goes and he cleans up that mess of food there that would turn to something else for mankind to have to breathe if it wasn't cleaned up, put in order, and reused. Now, someone comes along with a dose of poison for the ants because they don't like ants, so they sprinkle their den with poison. Well, the food still remains, and it still has to be cleaned up. So they had to regroup, and they had to call some others in, other help in from other dens that the poison didn't get to come and clean the mess up. But they're persistent in getting their job done. Now, that is the kingdoms, not as big as ants. They're micro, like the viruses, the bacteria that you can't see. They're micro kingdoms. Now, here we have a group of micro kingdoms that is infected. They can't do their job. And in 1988, we saw the result of that. But they regrouped. They got the firmament back in order. They were hit again. And through multiplication of sin, they were hit again and overcome. A certain amount of them were in 2003. But they overcame that one too. Now this one, they're uncertain of this. They're uncertain whether they are uncertain how this is going to go. They don't know what's causing it. They think gas is causing it, and shut down all the engines for a while and you'll see it's not. Just shut down all your plants. Shut down your gasoline motors, your plants and everything. Why run them anyway? If you think it's doing this, then shut them down. That's a great way to prove it. The best way to do it is shut down sin. That would actually stop it. It would take a while, but it would stop it. But the scientists know already that, you know, about the bacteria that causes the rain. But think of all the other things that, you know, that the ultraviolet rays that have to get to mankind. If they didn't get to you, you'd die. If it got to you in an overdose, it'd burn you up. If this brain doesn't work, and if it gets sick and can't heal itself, and this is the problem right now, is that it's got sicker this time because there's more going its way. more of the cause that's going its way. And it's killing these kingdoms. If you get a virus in your computer and you don't get it corrected, you know, it'll shut down your computer. But there are ways to get it done. And that's what we've got to do with the macro kingdoms that are governing this firmament. Now, you speak of it as the atmosphere and the environment, but it's actually called a firmament in the King James Version, and I'm sticking with that. I refuse to change. But it does mean an expanse. Yes, it means that too, and that's what we put it in the Book of Yahweh. Some other translations translated it expanse also, but that expanse is massive. It's massive. It's made up of massive kingdoms, micro kingdoms that you couldn't see at all. If you remember the Sea of Glass, now biology tells you that everything you see is alive. You may think it's dead, like these iron posts here, but they're very much alive. And they even demonstrate that if you could reduce yourself to the size of a microorganism, these things would be hitting you in the face and you'd know it. You could see it and know it because you'd be the same size. But they're very much alive. Everything on Earth is alive. Now, if it dies, then it's quickly taken by the other kingdoms and turned into a usable subject, which makes it alive again. So it recycles and brings it back to life and uses it again. Well, here now we have, at this time period, we have the sickest firmament in history. It's really sick this time. And it's not just here in the United States that we're suffering this. I don't know if they gave it on that news report. But this thing is spread throughout the whole world. And some of the places like India and China and even Israel, the land of Israel. Now, they've had to turn to recycling water and trying to clean up their water. They're doing it with ultraviolet rays, by the way. That's the way they're cleaning their water, the sewer water. I don't think they're getting it exactly clean because the Scripture talks about it. And it talks about them in this time period that they will be drinking their own urine. And of course, that's what they're doing. But I don't think it's exactly that they're purifying it, everything. I think there's some microorganisms in there that is fighting to get it clean, and they're fighting against it with too much ultraviolet rays. So it's under attack itself. And it's questionable now what harm this will do to the land of Israel because they're using it in irrigation. They're only allowed to use so much. So they know that the water is not quite right. It's not quite right because they limit the amount they can use on the land. Now, the water that they drink is treated a little more severely, but I don't think it's quite right either, but they have no way of limiting that supply to the people. They have to have so much drinking water. Well, in this instance now, of the earth and its burning, the Greenland. Now, this is just in one day, if I can get this to work. What this is, it's two maps. One was taken on July the 8th, and 4 days later, on July the 12th, it was taken again. Now, this shows an ice. There you go. It's real plain, right? This shows the ice layer over Greenland. 4 days later, this is what it looks like. All the ice is gone. Just in 4 days' time now. 4 days. And Greenland is not the hardest hit either. We have global warming and drought throughout all the areas. Drought is an insidious. Drought is an insidious and patient killer. Water Currents, J. Fleming Letta testifies to Congress. He says, Fleming Letta, a professor at the University of California Urban Department of Earth System Science and Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering. With that name behind him, he should be able to do something. You know, this is big letters. But what he's saying is, we don't know what to do. And the only one that knows what to do, they have pushed us aside, as they did Yahshua and all his apostles and all of Yahweh's prophets, and they don't want the knowledge of Yahweh. And because they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, they have come to what they are right now. And we're the only ones on earth that can tell them what is the real cause. He says, is perhaps the best known for his satellite-based research on overpumping of the aquifers. Well, of course, this has been going on for years, and we have a huge one in Texas that's dry now, almost dry. It's down. What it's done, like this is the Texas, this pulpit, and in the center is the deepest. Well, the water keeps coming in, and the farmers for hundreds of miles here have been selling their land when they run out of water. And as it gets closer to the center, and the center is getting more narrow in this huge aquifer, that I remember 50 years ago, I said, it looks like they would save this until hard times. And I put the word out, but it went nowhere. It makes me think of several other things I said, too, that didn't get through the windows of their head. But now they would that they had that water back, but there's no way to resupply it. It was trapped water. When the earth changed, it trapped water underneath, and that was one of the largest on planet Earth. But now it's drying up. It's just hardly anything left of it. I had an aunt and uncle that owned property in that area, and they sold it because they ran out of water. And that's how I learned about so much about that. And I said, man, that would have been a great water supply for Texas if it were saved, you know. And in my lifetime, that aquifer has dried up through irrigation, selling food, making their lands grow crops with commercial fertilizer. Okay, he says, he told Congress, drought is an insidious and patient killer of food and fuel crops, of livestock, of flora and fauna, and of humans. And it has emerged as a major threat to our nation's food, health, economic, and water security. He added that these impacts may be a greater threat in the coming decades since temperatures are expected to go up. We told them that. We told them that it was going up. Here's another problem they got from the same sick minds that won't repent. This is a bunker buster bomb. Well, what do you do with that? You kill people, of course. The drought is going to kill some. Yahweh shows that, Matthew 24, and many other scriptures. But this is what they brag about. The Pentagon's 30,000-pound bunker buster super bomb ready for use. And they're saying, we got it ready. It's been kept up to date and everything, and we're ready at any moment to use it. Well, this is the sick minds. Another sick mind, of course, that no one ever knew he was sick. Now, here is where we're having the problems. You know, everybody is born with a birth defect now. I told you, all the children have a birth defect in the world today. Some is greater than others. This started occurring, started back in the swinging 60s. But it wasn't noticeable and still not noticeable. You don't even know today what nut has his finger on the bunker buster bomb that could actually pull the trigger and be like Holmes, who just shot all the people in the Colorado school. Of course, this boy is innocent. What they do with him, you know, that now they find out he was under psychiatric care from their schools of higher learning, of course. Well, what did we do with him? You know, we don't know what to do. Why did you send him to us? This is almost like the question on their face that you would see if you were talking to the person that was giving him the treatment. Their schools of higher learning didn't want to retain the great knowledge, the great wisdom of Yahweh, and they've gotten all their children in this mess. But how many people are in Congress right now, world leaders all over the world that have power and we don't know it? They have great power and they have a stumbling block, a parasite in their head like the universe, like the firmament has right now, that's making it sick, and they could go off the deep end at any moment. Are you getting the picture? This drought in India, it says, domestic drought in India looms larger than global food crisis. This is in India, the same thing that's taking place here in Texas. I was looking at a colored map. I don't know if I have it. I think I do. I'll show it to you if I do. But it shows the colors and shows the drought globally. And it's about like it is here, about 63% all over the world. U.S. drought causes global unrest. They go through this article. It's a great article to read. But they show the dry lands, the lands that's unproductive because of the drought. And they show that when a person starts seeing his food supply diminish and no hopes of getting more, and the ones that have it are going to hold on to it. It's rather like we were this very week, past week, when they went up on us $50 a ton on feed. I said, well, you know, there's no shortage yet. Why are we having to pay $50 more per ton? There's no shortage right now. There's plenty. Well, it's the futures market. Well, the futures market, you buy the feed ahead of time. Us dummies, we waited till we need it, you know, because we was promised food, we was promised a certain amount of feed. Yeah, but the guy said he canceled that on us. So, you know, we go through these things in dealing with the world. $50 a ton in 1 week, they've gone up. They're saying about 4%, but it doesn't match out like that. And you're going to see the grocery stores going up, too, big time. In fact, this is what they're advertising mostly, is your foods are going to go, they're going to skyrocket. But as this does now, you're going to see minds that are already sick get sicker than this. And the things they do will not help. In fact, it will make it worse. But the unrest that you're going to see take place, you're going to see it according to prophecy. You are going to see it unless you lose your protection from Yahweh and of course, get knocked off. Well, Sandusky, all of this fits together. It's all the same sermon. And I praised Yahweh when I saw these things coming in because I wanted something to show to back up what the scripture said. Sandusky, of course, was innocent. He got caught up. He was raised. He was sick to begin with, then made sicker by sodomy. And, of course, sodomy, Yahweh shows that in eating pork. That's the two main things that's causing this whole thing. He got caught up in it. And, of course, he's 61 years old now. And of course, he's sent to prison or going to be sent to prison. That won't solve any of their problems. Their problems are a lot deeper than Sandusky. Sandusky could actually be helped. In fact, I've asked the judge to send him here and let us counsel him and get him on the right track. You might think that that would be something that the world would welcome. The man that owned Chick-fil-A, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but he was the one that was putting out a lot of money to furnish counseling for homosexuals so they could change. He died all of a sudden. Very sudden, unexplainable death. And now, because of his past work and trying to get people to turn from being sodomites to the original like Yahweh made them, there's certain cities that are rejecting this super business of Chick-fil-A right now. So no, it's not a welcome thing to the world when we say, look, Sandusky could actually be helped. The judge that sentenced him may not be able to be helped, but Sandusky could actually be able to be helped in his situation and turn to be a righteous person like maybe one of the apostles. Yes. There was other massacres. I'm sure you remember these other massacres like went on in Colorado. In fact, Columbine High was one that just before this, it was also in Colorado. The Arosa other massacre victims, 20 years waits for justice, is another one. That was in 1993. The Russians, they're under drought too, and they're crying and they're saying that they got a great story there about this because of they say the people who are not victims of the drought, they are investing huge amounts of money in fertilizer to raise larger crops to sell them at a super price. And they're saying now the amount of fertilizers that they're putting on the land is going to kill the land for approximately 10 years after this one-time thing. But they're willing, like the king, I'll have peace and wealth in my lifetime. Let it come after me. I don't care. That's the way the farmers are thinking this thing through also. And they're saying that the climate change now is going to bring scorching heat, and it's a spreading drought across most of the U.S. Corn Belt and the planet's food outlook is in serious trouble. And they're saying also that very soon now that the exports will stop. Because everybody that's got food, they're going to start keeping it because it's going to affect every nation. And they're saying very soon now you'll see every country for itself. If they don't have it, forget it. We don't care. Now that's the attitude of mankind. U.S. drought set to cut world corn supply by 60 million. That was on the 22nd. So that's rather up to date. The global warming. Now, in Matthew 24, Yeshua shows the drought. He shows the wars, every nation against every other nation, every nation on its own, as that article just said. The cause, the family admitting, they're finally admitting that the science proves, that you just saw that film, keep that in your mind, that science proves what we're seeing is not a natural thing, but it is man-made. The greenhouse gases, remember this, they're not the cause. It's already been proved that they're not the cause, but they keep harping on that one thing because they haven't found the cause. Not diesel burning or coal burning or wood burning or gas burning. The article, I'm out of time or almost out of time, but I wanted to go through this article before we do. Now, Noah links extreme weather to climate change. Now, this is a plus right here, and of course, that's what you saw them doing here. The only thing, the cause is wrong. On Tuesday, for the first time, government scientists are saying recent extreme weather events are likely connected to man-made climate change. Now, that's what you saw in the film, and them arguing back and forth, and some saying this is not science. The others say, yes, this is science. It proves it's science. The report says last year's record drought in Texas was made, roughly 20 times more likely because a man-made climate change, specifically meaning warming, that comes from greenhouse gases. Well, no. This is not greenhouse gases. And they say carbon dioxide was man-made. Yes, it is man-made, but it's not carbon dioxide that's causing it. He says the Pentagon, the head of NOAA's climate office, Tom Carl, said what we're seeing not only in Texas, but in other phenomena, in other parts of the world, where we can't explain these events by natural variability alone. Aside from the Texas drought, Noah called the entire year of 2011 the year of extreme weather events. It's not like, brethren, any other drought that we've had in world history. It's not there. It's breaking all records, and it's spreading throughout the globe, throughout. And there's no place on earth that's not going to be touched. Now, the firmament might overcome this year. I got my doubts about it. I think this is the end. I really do. Praise Yahweh. Aside from Texas drought, Noah called the entire year of 2011 an extreme weather event, starting in Joplin, Missouri. January to June 2012, warmest first half of any year on record. Drought reaches record 56% of continental U.S. Well, it's 63% now. This was on July the 10th, so in 15 days it's come up from 56% to 63% of the United States. It's done that throughout the world. All told, 7 tornado outbreaks in America last year. All told, there were 7 tornado outbreaks in America last year. I'm sure you saw that on the news and the cost of billions of dollars of damage. What's happening, he says, is these normal fluctuations between El Nino and La Nina events that lead to some of the extreme conditions become more extreme, more intense than they otherwise might have been, because we've got increased greenhouse gases in the atmosphere leading to a warmer planet.
Well, of course, his last part was wrong, and maybe one day soon Yahweh will open their eyes to see that.
Noah made a point of saying in their study that the climate change they have identified is man-made. Go back 50 years, he says. They know what temperature and dryness conditions are associated with Texas drought 50 years ago. When they put that in the computer, nothing explained the intensity and duration of what we saw last year in Texas until they factored in the added heat coming from climate change. You're going to see a lot of scientists criticizing this as guess, but Noah, for the first time, is arguing this is science. If you will turn over to Genesis, and for the ones that's listening out there, it's going to take me several lessons to explain this, but Genesis 1. But we are going to get it explained, and if the scientists are listening to me, if Miss Collins is listening to me, if you will get this complete study, you'll see what I'm talking about and you'll know what to look for. In Genesis 1, if you'll look at verse 6, Yahweh said, "Let there be a firmament." Now this is the expanse. This includes the sun, the moon. All of this is in this firmament. It was made for man and the earth. Yahweh made this. He commanded it, like he commands the ants, the little fire ants or black ants, to go pick up the food that is rottening out of your yard or in your kitchen. They'll come in your house big time, spill something on the floor, and you'll see what this kingdom of ants was commanded to do, like the little mice and rats and things like this. Well, but imagine this as macro kingdoms, something you can't see. You could put thousands of them on the head of a needle. That's how small they are. But Yahweh commanded them. When he made this kingdom, he commanded them to do a certain thing. He made it in order for them to do a certain thing. They're alive and well and breeding and having fun with baits and so forth. Yes, they enjoy life, but something is making them sick at this time. And I can prove what I'm saying easily by demonstration of scientific work that's already been done. And Yahweh said, "Let there be a firmament between the waters, and let there be separation between the waters from the waters." How'd they know that? They didn't have a Galileo's telescope at that time. How did they know that there's waters up there and that there was a separation? They didn't learn that for thousands of years. But they knew it. They knew it. The science still don't know it now. Some of them, they still argue with this one point. So Yahweh made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And Yahweh called the expanse sky, and the evening and the morning was the second day. Second day, without a sun or moon. How did you get a day there? Well, that's some more stupidity just floating around, but we'll... The days began before the sun. How did they do that? What I want you to do is hang on to this knowledge that you got here and what it's coming to, because this is a serious situation that we're in right now. I'm thinking this is it. We're right at the end at this time, and Yahweh will protect his house. Those who are listening to us out there, I can tell you right now the communications may be shut off completely at any time. One bomb could do this and we'll be totally without television, radio, electricity, telephones, everything. You're going to be without every service of communication. This could take place. Start working now to figure out how you're going to get here to the protected place, because this is the only protected place on the face of the earth. There you go. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!